The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to what I think must be Miracle Monday, because my guest is my friend Ken Fish. Ken Fish, welcome.
Hey, Eric. Thanks for having me back.
That's the most realistic fake wood background I have ever seen. I love it. Don't touch it, because I feel like it'll ripple.
It's early American barn.
Okay, now you got to look at your camera. Otherwise, we're gonna there. See, ha. Huh? Okay,
yep.
Now listen, my friend.
Go.
I haven't seen you in a while, but whenever I talk to you or we connect, you're traveling all kinds of places, and you pray for people, and stuff happens. There are a lot of people that don't believe in the miraculous, and I would think if they would hang out with you, that would go away very quickly, because you have a gift from God where you pray for people and stuff happens. And I grew up in a world where that never happened. And, you know, I think that people need to know God is alive, and it doesn't mean he's going to answer our prayers just because we want him to, but he does and he can, and we need to know that. So you, where have you been recently and what's been happening? You mentioned something about angels in Costa Rica. I love this stuff. So what's cooking?
Well, let's start in November. November was a really busy month. I was only home 4 days, although admittedly, 5 of the missing days were because I went to Texas for Thanksgiving with my wife, my daughter, to visit my other daughter. Anyway, but in November, we went and did a meeting in Ohio, and 2 people who were in wheelchairs got out of their wheelchairs in that meeting in Ohio, and the one woman, she was in an electric wheelchair, which, I mean, to me, that is an indication that it's worse than just standard wheelchair, right? Because with a standard one, you can at least, you know, push yourself along if you need to. But anyway, she got out of her wheelchair and ran around the sanctuary. And then when she finished that lap, she fell on her face, not because she fell, but she, as we say, spiritually, she fell on her face. Bowed down and was weeping, and her husband stood there weeping because his wife had gotten out of this wheelchair.
Okay.
So that,
where
that
was this?
This was in Ohio.
In Ohio. Well, I have to ask you, why was she in a wheelchair? Can you give us those details? Because I think that'd be interesting.
Yeah, she had a form of a blood cancer, and she also had massive neuropathy and just pain in her bones if she tried to walk. So anyway, it was a kind of a complex healing. I probably spent, I don't know, 30 or 40 minutes praying with her. But anyway, that was the end result. And, you know, she just sort of vaulted out of the chair and started running. So, you know, nobody even had time to grab their phones. Somebody did actually have a phone in their hand. So we got some video of her running, but it's not a complete and total video, you know, from moment of vaulting out of the chair until moment of falling on her face. But anyway, we posted it in my God Is Not a Theory group on Facebook. And, you know, obviously it had a big impact on people seeing that, you know, these sort of things are still going on. And they are. And there's nothing contrived or made up about it. It just was what it was. There's another woman. She was in a standard wheelchair. And I can't remember what her situation was at this point. Sometimes I just see so many people, I can't remember them all. But what I remember is it wasn't anything like a blood cancer. It was something, you know, you would say in the scheme of things, somehow less serious. But anyway, she got up and walked around. And so that was another one.
Do you know, when I hear about a woman having blood cancer, neuropathy and this kind of stuff, I always think I wish I could hear from a doctor afterward? I know you've been making an effort to follow up on this, because that's where it gets fascinating for people who just say, oh, I don't know what to think. When you get, you know, a doctor to say, we have no explanation for how you can, you know, I mean, I'm just wondering if you or somebody or this woman and her family are following up, because this is big stuff.
Yeah. So this woman, I actually am going to talk with her about that. But what most listeners wouldn't understand at all, because they've never been in this situation, is many people who come to meetings like this, they either don't have good pre-medical history or they don't have good post-medical history. And you actually need both to document something fully to medical standards. So they either show up and they didn't go to the doctor, but they know they're a mess and they might be in a wheelchair or whatever. It doesn't even need to be a wheelchair. It's just whatever their condition is.
Yeah.
And then afterward, they might go to the doctor, but there's no prehistory. And then other times they have plenty of prehistory. They get healed, but then they don't go and get a confirmation. They just know they're fine and they go about their life as it was.
Yeah.
And I think this is part of why when Jesus healed people, he would say, go show yourself to the priest. That was the equivalent of getting medical documentation. But having said all that, Craig Keener is the leading modern theologian of miracles in the world.
Keener, and K-E-E-N-E-R. He wrote a two-volume work, which I used when I wrote my book, Miracles. But yes, he is somebody that makes an effort to really genuinely document what we call the miraculous. Yeah. So go ahead.
That's correct. So he just published a new book, I think in the last 3 weeks, called Modern Miracles. So it's not the two-volume work you described. It's a newer version, or not even a newer version. It's a newer book. And he and I talked extensively when he was writing that book, and I gave him a bunch of case studies on people who had been healed. Again, because of this before and after thing that I just mentioned, some of them were eliminated, but he put seven documented healings with medical confirmation in his book that just came out. So if people want to go get that book and look it over, that would be a place that they could get some of that kind of, you know, ironclad, airtight, forensically documented healing evidence.
Well, I'm just so glad that Craig Keener exists and is writing these books, because we do need this. There are people that are saying, well, I want to believe, but I don't know where, you know, and it's nice when you can point them to a book like Craig Keener's. So and we've had him on the program. And if he's got a new book out, I should have
confirm this.
What? Say that again.
We need more books like Craig's to confirm books like this.
Yes, that's my book, is Atheism Dead, in the glorious new glossy black cover. That's I think the first edition of the book, they weren't able to get it out in the glossy black cover, and I haven't seen too many with the new cover, so thank you for holding that up. That's actually I want to buy that book, and I can't because I wrote it. Ken, you were recently in Costa Rica and you reported something, some angels, some, you know, that kind of crazy stuff. I love this stuff, so tell us.
Well, I went down to Costa Rica and I was there for about a week, and we had planned this meeting for more than a year, and we weren't even sure if it was going to happen because, you know, COVID just being what it is, everything's up for grabs. But in the end, we went down there and I took a team of eight people with me. So we did about a week's worth of meetings, and there were a lot of things that went on. And I've actually seen reports that have been sent by people who were there, kind of expressing their shock at the things that they saw and heard going on. We had a lot of stuff. Yes, there were some angels, but honestly, I don't want to start there. I want to start with the level of prophetic accuracy that we as a team had while we were down there. There were many, many, many people who were called out of the crowd. We did not know them at all. We were all Americans ministering among Costa Ricans. And the words were like pinpoint accurate in what was being said to the people. And it caused the faith in the room to skyrocket, because everybody in the room knew, you know, the other people in the room. And so, you know, as outsiders, we were coming in, and they knew that you know, God was in their midst. And I want, that, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, when we come back, I want to talk about that, because that's a principle, the idea that God uses that prophetic gift to say, you know, God told me this about you, to build somebody's faith. The idea that they say, well, that, yes, that's right. Only God could have known that. So their faith is built, and it helps them potentially get healed. When we come back, talking to Ken Fish. Don't go away.
And in case you didn't hear, oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas.
Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Hey there, folks. When running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and HR manager salaries are not cheap, an average of $70,000 a year. Bambi, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small businesses. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance, all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day to day, all for just $99 a month, month to month, no hidden fees, cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. Let Bambi help. Get your free HR audit today. Go to Bambi.com/Metaxas right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambi.com/Metaxas, Bambee.com/Metaxas. Folks, as I said earlier, this must be Miracle Monday. If it's not Monday, I apologize. But I say it's Miracle Monday because, look, it's my friend Ken Fish. You were just sharing, and this is just an interesting dynamic, and it's fascinating to me, and I want my audience to understand this, that because I've experienced this type of thing where you're in some place. Chris Reed, to whom you introduced me, I remember when we were all together in Kansas City with Mike Bickle and company, that he has a particularly keen gift where God speaks to him about, you know, he says, he said, to my friend Keith Junta, you know, does this word mean anything to you? And he says, yeah, that's the name of the street that I live on. And, you know, all this kind of stuff, which I think a lot of people say, that's just sorcery, that's witchcraft, that's nonsense, that's... But you say, and others say, that the whole point of that is to demonstrate to the person, this is God, and it increases your faith. Now, why does that matter? Or do we know why that matters? Because, you know, somebody having faith to get healed, there's a lot to that.
Well, I think the term faith is pretty broadly misunderstood. In our time, I think faith has come to mean something like, you know, cross your fingers, hope for the best, wish really hard. And if the wind is right and it happens to be the third Thursday of the month, then you might actually see something happen, maybe, but probably not. And that's kind of how people understand faith. It's really believism. It's wishing for the best. But faith, biblically, is really more of a deep-rooted confidence that comes from knowing both the person of God and his character, which means, among other things, we also know his ways. How does God really do business with the world? And so the scriptures speak of the fact that when a prophetic gift is in operation and a non-believer, which by the way, could be a believer, i.e. a Christian, but they don't actually believe much. They don't believe God really does any of this stuff anymore. When a non-believer comes into the room, and it could also be just a raw pagan with no Christian faith at all, when they hear a prophetic word given, it says that the secrets of men's hearts are laid bare, then he will fall down and say, God is truly among you. And when you see, genuine prophetic gifting operating like this, it does have the effect of convincing people that God's really here and he's really paying attention to every single detail. So we have that kind of thing going on in Costa Rica. And it wasn't just once or twice. It was, I don't know if it was every single meeting, but we did 17 meetings while I was down there. So it was nearly every meeting. Maybe it was only 15 or 16, but I mean, it was nearly all of them had this kind of thing going on. And it had the effect of, you know, sending the faith in the room through the roof, because people were like, God's really here. And, you know, we've kind of believed in this in a theoretical sense, but we've never actually seen it on exhibit. We've never actually seen our friends, people that we know, and we know that these people don't know them because they live in America and they just showed up and they, boom, they're calling these people out. And, you know, these words are landing with great power and clarity. That's the kind of thing that, you know, really, well, it drives unfaith out of the room or unbelief. And I think one of the other things that you know, goes along with all of this is that the prophetic gift is clearly on exhibit in the scriptures. We have examples of exactly this kind of thing going on with Jesus and the woman at the well, John chapter 4. Jesus, when he meets Nathanael, which is a couple of chapters earlier, Samuel gives a word to Saul before he's anointed king, in which there are at least, depends on how you count it, but there are at least 43 distinct pieces of information that Samuel gives to Saul about his life, what's been going on, what's about to happen to him, and then it all comes to pass. So we have other examples in Scripture. They're not quite as much in narrative form, but Isaiah from time to time called people out. In fact, you would know this, Eric, before the 2016 presidential election, there was a prophecy in Isaiah 45 about King Cyrus, the Persian king of 2,500 years ago, that got kind of lifted out of the passage of Isaiah, and it was applied to Donald Trump. Well, I'm not going to comment on whether it's appropriate to apply it to Trump, but I will say Isaiah prophesied Cyrus by name more than two centuries before his birth. So, you know, this sort of thing
is in
the
Bible. Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
I never knew this. When Isaiah is writing, it's two centuries before Cyrus, and he is prophesying the existence and the monarchy of Cyrus.
That's correct. He prophesies him by name. And also the birth of Josiah, the reforming king of Judah, he's also prophesied by name approximately two centuries before his birth. So
okay.
Not by Isaiah, but so the my only point is this stuff is in the Bible, but a lot of times people don't realize it. They don't know it. I mean, you were just sort of taken aback when I said it.
Well,
and
that case, I'm not saying it's unscriptural because of course it's scriptural. What you said about
right.
Jesus and about, you know, with the woman at the well and then with Nathanael, it's clearly intended to impress these people and to say, hey, isn't it obvious that God or something far beyond what you're able to comprehend knows things about you that cannot be known in the natural? It gets your attention.
That's correct.
That's the point. And so God, I mean, in my miracles book, when I talked about the nature of miracles, it seems over and over and over again that the point of what we call miracles are God getting your attention to say, hey, here I'm here. You see me. You know me. I want you to know me. I want you to be impressed by this, to turn to me. It's not just, you know, a free gift like, hey, here's something. It's to turn you to God. And so all
of
these miracles are intended for us to say, that's God. And so to focus us on God, not on the miracle. So it's an important theological point, teaching point to make. God wants us to turn to him. It's not about the miracle. You don't say, thank you very much, and you move on with your life. He wants you to turn to him and to say, yes, you're real. You're the source of my healing. You're the source of my health. So talk more about what happened in Costa Rica.
Well, so that was kind of how things opened on the first night, and obviously that set the tone for the week. But in another meeting that we had, and again, this isn't even getting on to angels yet, you know, everybody always says, well, that's all great that you're, you know, into all these signs and wonders, but what about, you know, people like repenting and doing stuff like that? So we had one meeting where, because of a prophetic word that I gave, at the end, literally every person in the room was on their face repenting. And I mean with loud cries and gnashing of teeth and wailing and deep repentance. And then the leader of the church federation that we were working with, he got up on the microphone and publicly repented for essentially what had allowed to set in a culture of unbelief. He didn't use exactly that language, and he was praying in Spanish, but I understand Spanish well enough. He didn't exactly use that, but that was certainly the intent of it. So he was talking about this culture, this you know, mindset, this worldview that, you know, God doesn't do these things, God won't do these things, God shouldn't do these things, and that it had been allowed to creep into the movement among the believers. And then he himself broke down weeping and knelt down on the floor in front of his entire movement and asked the Lord to forgive them for the way they had been living away from him and not in this sort of dynamic concourse with him. There weren't many non-believers in the meeting. It was really a meeting of believers, and more particularly church leaders. But I will say a number of people recommitted their lives to the Lord, and several of them who had been resisting the calling of the Lord on their lives yielded to that and said that they were going to change direction and begin yielding to whatever this thing was that God had called them to. So we got some pictures of that. And I'll tell you something, when you see hundreds of people on their face sprawled out, now you can't see that they're necessarily crying and sobbing in a still picture, but a couple of people took some video footage, and I mean, there was no doubt about what was going on. You don't see many meetings like this in modern American Christianity, and the Lord knows we need more of them.
I hope people will look you up, Ken. We'll keep you to continue the conversation, lots more. But folks, go to Orbis, O-R-B-I-S, orbisministries.org. We'll be right back.
Hey folks, as hard as it may be for us to comprehend in America, there are people in other parts of the world right now whose very lives are being threatened simply for believing in Jesus. In fact, worse than being threatened, many are today enslaved for their faith. Some have been for decades evicted from their homes, charged exorbitant fines, and then sold into slavery for their faith in Jesus. Amazing, but true. Hundreds of thousands are being persecuted and enslaved in the Middle East. But together, here's the good news, we can literally buy their freedom and save the lives of our precious brothers and sisters and give them joy and hope. It's just amazing. $250, maybe you can give less, maybe more. Please do it. Thank you.
In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to my friend Ken Fish with Orbis, O-R-B-I-S, Ministries. Ken, let's keep talking about what happened in Costa Rica. You keep teasing this idea of angels. This
We're
is maybe
there.
No big deal for you, but I've never seen an angel, and I'm in awe of these kinds of things because I know you. I know your character. You don't make stuff up. But we don't need to go there right away. We'll just continue from where you were.
Well, about midway through the week, we went to this church. So there was a group of churches that sponsored these meetings, and we kind of moved around from church to church location so that all the people, even if they couldn't travel, would at least be able to participate in some of it. And then there were many, of course, who came to everything. So we went to this other church facility about midway through the trip. And as we were getting ready to teach, I just felt the unction of the Lord that we needed to do healing before we got around to teaching. And so I called 9 people out of the crowd by their conditions. They all came up. All 9 of them were healed.
Okay, now hang on, because this is normal for you, but I got to slow things down and break down every sentence or whatever. You say God speaks to you about people. I've seen you do this, and I laugh because it's just a delightful thing to see you say, you know, this woman here has, you know, a respiratory, ma'am, do you have a respiratory thing? You know, and she doesn't answer. And finally she says, well, I do have asthma. Is that what you mean? You know, you're like, yeah, that's what I meant. Hey, come up here. Let me pray for you. Whatever. God is trying to do something. And he starts the process by telling you oftentimes what is ailing these strangers. So you're saying that this is what happened. And I mean, just that alone is a faith builder. When you tell somebody you have this, they don't tell you what they have. You tell them, and they're strangers right. to you. But God told you to build their faith, to do something. And then you're saying, and these people get healed. So can you be specific on any of these before we get to the rest?
Well, there was one woman in particular that I knew right in the room where she was sitting. I wasn't sure if it was a man or a woman, and so I pointed to that sector of the room, and I said, "It's one of the two of you." And they weren't a couple; they were just sitting next to each other. But I said, "One of you has a problem with your right hip, and it's in the bone, you know, the ball joint that drops down into the femur, and it runs all the way down your leg. Which of you is it?" And it was a woman, and she stood up and she came forward, and so she got healed. There were several others, as I said, there were 9 of them in total. And I think really the effect of something like that is multiplicative. You might even say exponential.
Go ahead. You're very specific about the hip joint and where, and can you explain to folks like me, what are you seeing or hearing from God when you get that level of specificity about something? Is it a picture that you get in your mind or what?
It's often a picture. Sometimes I get a sensation in my own body and I think, well, this isn't my pain. I mean, I don't have a problem with my right hip, so why would I be feeling that pain? And I've just learned over time that this is one of the ways, not the only way, and maybe not even the best way, but it's one of the ways that the Holy Spirit can speak and reveal something like this. And so I called this one out. Now, that particular one, I had looked up in that section of the room, and I had seen just for a moment a picture of someone sitting there, and it wasn't clear to me, again, man or woman, but I could see very clearly, and it was like in the picture in my mind, the right leg was somehow, I don't know what you want to say, highlighted. So that I knew that this was the area of interest. And then as I began to speak into that, more information came to me. And that's often the case when you're speaking.
And how does that information come to you? In other words, as ideas in your mind or as pictures? I'm just fascinated with the mechanics of this.
Yes. Sometimes it's pictures. Sometimes I hear things. And sometimes it's like a continuous flow of thought. It could be any of it. And sometimes they all converge. So I might be hearing it and seeing it and having the thoughts flowing through my mind. It just kind of depends on which way it's coming in that moment.
So when do we get to the angels that you
mentioned?
We're
about to get. But so this, what I was going to say is this becomes multiplicative because you know, you might get it right once and be lucky. You might get lucky twice, but when you get nine in a row, they're all correct, and then everybody says, yeah, I just got healed. And, you know, whether it's a respiratory condition or a hip condition, and they're demonstrating it in front of the room, I mean, this is something that really gets people's attention. So right after that, we did a mass long-haul COVID healing. And that's probably worthy of a kind of a separate conversation, so I won't drill into it. But I will say this. There was one woman, and it really, really arrested my attention because she had had long-haul COVID. She'd gotten it in 2020, and so here we are in December. So it's been, you know, more than a year, and she had no sense of smell at all. Other than this, she could smell rotting flesh all the time, rotting flesh. The technical term for that, by the way, is charnel. Most people don't know that, but it's a fun fact. So
C-H-A-R-N-E-L.
There, yes, that's right.
Yeah, like charnel house, so, a charnel house. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, so like if someone would wave a lemon under her nose or if they would give her something to eat, she couldn't taste any of that. The charnel was there.
But wait, that's bizarre. Why? It's one thing to lose your sense of smell or taste, but why would she smell something disgusting and foul? You know what? We're out of time in the segment. We'll be right back talking to Ken Fish about rotting flesh and other things. We'll be right back.
Blixen and Blixen and all his reindeers pulling on the reins. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. So hang your stockings and say your...
Folks, Eric Metaxas here. Somebody just handed me a piece of paper with insane information on it. But I know it's true because the other day I literally got a phone call from Mike Lindell telling me, Eric, you got to check out. And then he tells me about this towel special, right? And he says, you got to tell your audience. Okay, so here's the special. $39.99 if you use the code Eric. Normally $109.99. We're talking about the towels that work. We've talked about this before. It's a technology where the towels actually do the job of being absorbent and, you know that whole thing. So they're amazing towels, but you can get a set of six towels for $39.99. You have to use the code Eric. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new radio listener specials, and or you can call 800-978-3057, 800-978-3057. Use the code Eric. Hey, folks, I'm talking to my friend Ken Fish about crazy stuff. I don't believe any of this stuff, as you know. I'm just, you know, humoring my guest. All right, so Ken, so this woman has no sense of smell or taste or whatever. You said, bizarrely, she seems to have this recurring smell of rotting flesh, which I'm baffled by that. What is that?
The only explanation I can give for it, I mean, her doctor wasn't there. I didn't get to talk to him or her. But the only explanation I can give for it is we all know that COVID has the effect often, not universally, of, you know, invading people's sinuses, their respiratory tract here, down into the lungs. And I wondered if maybe her sinuses had been so damaged that they had started to rot away or decay because she was a long hauler, right? This was one of her symptoms of long haul COVID, was this lack of smell, but still smelling rotting flesh. So maybe it was just so overpowering that, you know, it was overriding her.
It was on the inside of her. Gosh. Right. Okay. So what happened?
So anyway, we prayed for her, this COVID prayer that we've been praying over lots of people. And there were a number of other people who were long haulers. Every single person got healed. But what was really amazing with her was instantly the smell left, that rotting flesh smell, and she started crying. And, you know, it's a Spanish-speaking country, so she was, gloria a Dios, oh, muchas gracias, señor, you know, that kind of thing. And so it was pretty clear that this was an authentic experience she was having. And just prior to starting that session, someone had handed me a chocolate bar. And so I thought, well, let's try an experiment. So I ripped open the chocolate bar, and I held it out to her, and I told her to, you know, wave it under her nose. And she did. And then she really started crying because she said, I can smell the chocolate. And then I said, take a bite. And when she took a bite into the chocolate bar, she literally, her legs gave way and she fell on the floor praising God because she could taste something for the first time in over a year. And it was just so powerful. It was so dramatic. It was so unstaged. It was so authentic and moving. I thought, oh my God, this is just, I mean, I kind of had to back away for a couple minutes and just compose myself watching this woman, you know, come unraveled. Well, right after that session, the next session in that same church, and this was in one of the kind of poorer parts of the city of San Jose, kind of a rougher area. Just prior to the meeting beginning, one of the worship leaders came up to me and he said, you know, Ken, I think the Lord has given me a prophetic word that if we will, as a congregation, hum rather than sing the words, that we will hear the angels singing with us. I said, let's give it a try. I mean, the worst that'll happen is nothing.
Let's take a whack at it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I just love the idea that there are people like this worship leader down there. Now, is this somebody indigenous to the area or is this somebody you travel with?
No, this was a native Costa Rican and he was from one of the other congregations that was part of this wider series of meetings. And he's well known to all of them. I think he's also an assistant pastor. So I think by almost any standard, you'd consider him an elder. I mean, yeah. That doesn't make him fallible.
But he's the sort of person who can hear from God in the way that he—I mean, what a strange thing to say unless somehow God made that clear to you. But, you know, it's just if we will hum, we can hear the angels singing. So what happened?
So we did. The band started playing, and instead of everyone singing, we just hummed. And we told them to kind of, you know, keep it down. Don't let it become too loud. And then—
Because one of the angels has laryngitis.
Well, no, not that. I just wanted to be sure that people could actually capture it. And let me just say this. There's a Christian musician named Jason Upton, and he did an album, I want to say maybe 8 or 10 years ago, in which they caught what they believed to be an angelic voice on the video track, or excuse me, the audio tracks as they recorded the album in the studio, because the voice was not one of their standard singers that was accompanying him, and it was a much higher frequency than anything else. So most people have said, yeah, maybe that's what it is. Well, so we did this for a bit, and then I had the band get quiet and just keep playing in the background. I said, now, those of you who heard or you think you heard angel voices singing, I'd like you to raise your hand. And about 90% of the room put up their hands. And so I said, now, I want all of you to point at where you thought you heard the angel voices coming from. And there were 5 zones in the room, and every single person pointed at 1 or 2 of those zones. If they used only one, okay, they pointed there. If they heard it from 2 places, they did like that. But all of them were pointing at exactly the same place. Then I said, did anyone happen to see these angels? And 11 people said, I saw them, and one of them was the wife of the national leader of this church movement. So the audio was running, and I don't have the tracks yet. I sent a message this morning, and I said, I'd like to get the tracks because several people said they thought that it had been caught on the audio, not unlike this Jason Upton recording. I can't confirm that yet. But I did ask for the audio tracks. But 11 people said, this is what I saw, and this is where I saw the angel. And what do you know? All of them saw the angels in the same place that the noise, the music, the singing was coming from.
Now, you did not hear the angels.
I did hear the angels. I didn't see them.
So when you say you hear the angels, what did you hear? It's just outrageous.
Well, because no one was singing, we were just humming, you could hear the congregational hum. Of course, you could hear the instruments. They were behind me, but it was a higher pitch, higher frequency, sort of like if you're listening to a singing group, you know, the soprano, when the soprano really cuts loose. It was kind of like that. It wasn't overly loud, but it was distinct.
Was it a language?
Well, it was a language, but I didn't understand it. So I can't tell you what it was. Paul does say, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, so it suggests anyway that there may be angelic tongues, but it could have been a language I don't know also. I mean, I know a few, but I don't know that.
But it sounded like a language.
It definitely sounded like a language. It was going in rhythm to the music. I heard it in four places. One was right here behind me, so kind of the back corner.
Actually, we're gonna do a break. We'll be right back, folks, talking to Ken Fish of Orbis, ORBIS Ministries.
And so this is Christmas. I hope you have fun. The near and the dear ones.
It's all cold down along the beach.
Folks, welcome back. Talking to Ken Fish. Ken, you're just sharing some profound, extraordinary things here about angels singing. Now, did anybody describe what the angels looked like?
Yeah, they did. They were generally, and when I've seen them, this is the way I see them too, so it didn't surprise me. They were translucent, so you could see the similitude is the biblical term for it, but you could see through them. So not all the way transparent, not opaque like you and I are. They were wearing white robes that were kind of shining and shimmering, and all of them were carrying something. Some were books, which you might think of as a teaching angel maybe. A couple seemed to have instruments in their hands, so maybe they wanted to accompany or play along with the band. The scripture does say that angels long to look into the things of believers in the New Testament. So we know that they believed this in the New Testament period. And a couple of them had weapons, so they would have been warrior angels.
Holy cow. Okay, so you wanted to say something. We just got a couple of minutes left about the coming year, this 2022. Is this something God spoke to you or just generally something?
Well, this is just what's on my heart. I'd stop short of saying it's a word from the Lord, although I guess it could be. But the main thing that I really feel that's going on in 2022 for the wider body of Christ is, you know, we all consume a lot of media. We're on whatever form of it we follow. And, you know, we go to meetings, assuming that the churches aren't closed. But a lot of this is kind of passive. We're in receptor mode. And I feel like God is calling us to activate and to move forward. And so for people who have been on the sidelines, maybe consuming, listening, hearing, we might say getting blessed and fed, find your place, find your niche, find the thing that God has uniquely given you to do and start doing it. You may feel like you're out of your depth, you don't have that much to contribute, but this is a year to start working on that. And, you know, anything you do long enough, you're going to get pretty good at. So if the body of Christ begins to engage, I believe we'll have a much, much healthier body of Christ. But beyond that, everyone's been talking about this coming great revival. If the body of Christ is engaged in this manner, well, we might actually see it start to happen.
Well, I mean, there's no question that that's the job of the church. We are to be the church. We don't just... Right. Hang out and worship. We do things. We do what God called us to do. And I do feel that you know, there's an activation, that there are people that I think are waking up. It seems clear that things are happening, and that a lot of the bad things that have been happening have helped move people to action or to understand that I need to do something. I can't. So I guess I'm tracking with you. Before we go, just want to ask you, why is Orbis Ministries named Orbis, O-R-B-I-S Ministries? What is that?
Well, when I founded the organization, it was Kingdom Fire Ministries, and there were specific reasons I used the word kingdom and fire. I'll omit them here for brevity. But anyway, that was our name for the first couple of years, actually for the first several years. And then one of my donors came forward and said, you know, I don't think that name is helping you. You need a new name. Let's get somebody who knows how to do naming and branding and all that. And so we went through a big exercise, and we came up with a number of names. And in the middle of it all, I had a dream. And in the dream, the word Orbis Ministries came to me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I haven't heard that.
I woke up. I called my webmaster and I said, can you check this domain? Is it available? She said, it's all available. You can have .com, .org, .mil, .gov, .edu, whatever you want. I said, grab it all. And then we did testing to see, was it as good a name as the other names?
We're out of time. The answer is in a dream. Ken Fish, we love you. Thanks for being my guest.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.